AFM, or acute flaccid myelitis, is a disease that has been on the radar of many parents this year. In this episode of Muscogee Creek's Nation Department of Health's podcast series, we'll learn more about the disease. Here with us to discuss the two illnesses is Dr. Lisa Wright, a board-certified pediatrician at the Supulpa and Eufaula Indian Health Centers. Pleasure to have you here, Dr. Wright. I want to start with acute flaccid myelitis, or AFM, because it seems to be on the mind of so many parents these days, especially if they're watching the news. So can you start by explaining what kind of condition it is?
Acute flaccid myelitis is a condition where the spinal cord, mainly the gray matter area of the spinal cord, becomes inflamed, and the inflammation causes weakness and sometimes paralysis of your arms, legs, face, muscles, and muscles that control your ability to breathe. Now, the issue is that we don't know what really is causing acute flaccid myelitis. The first cases were seen initially in California in about 2013, and since then, the CDC has been tracking AFM, and that's part of the reason why the number of cases, we believe, is being recognized, because now as providers, we are looking out for something that we didn't know was out there initially. It's not caused by any one particular virus. Initially, when there was an outbreak in California, there was a virus called enterovirus D68 that was going around. And some of the children were found to have had enterovirus D68. But since then, many of the other cases of children who've had AFM, they have not had enterovirus. So basically, we don't know for sure what's causing AFM. Sometimes the children, before they come down with these symptoms, have colds, and sometimes they've had diarrhea. But one particular virus has not been found to be the cause in all the cases of AFM. But parents do need to be aware that it is something that's out there, but it's something that's extremely, extremely very rare. For instance, between January 1st to November 2nd of last year, there were 80 cases across the entire country that were identified of AFM. And now, as of January 4th of this year, 193 cases in 39 states have been identified. So it's just something you just need to be aware of, especially if your child, say initially they had what seemed to be like a cold, and then all of a sudden they're exhibiting symptoms such as weakness, trouble standing, walking, lifting their arms. If that occurs, the child needs to be taken to the emergency room right away, because over time that virus sometimes can affect the muscles that help you breathe and can cause you to not be able to breathe in your lungs, in order to make sure that they don't end up paralyzed or on a respirator.
I'm really glad that you brought up that it's kind of, you know, cold-like symptoms, because I know a lot of parents listening to this might be thinking, you know what, you know, if my parent or if my child is coughing or exhibiting those symptoms like weakness, this might be just a small case of the flu or a severe cold. So my question to you is, how do you know when to take it really seriously? Over how many days does that weakness start exhibiting in children?
Well, there's no set number of days where before the child ends up with the full symptoms. It's just, you know, parents know in general when their child is sick with a cold, they don't tend to have weakness to the point where they have trouble standing or walking. So if, of course, their child exhibits any of those signs, you know, that's alarming. That's something that needs to be addressed immediately, because normally when children have colds, they're still running around. They might not feel good, but they're able to walk okay and they're breathing okay. But for instance, in this country, there are about 73 million children under the age of 18 in the United States. The number of cases of AFM occur like 1 to 2 children per million. So that's how rare it is. In the state of Oklahoma last year, there were 2 cases that were identified. So it's just, again, something that parents should be aware of, but the odds that their child will end up with this condition are very, very slim.
That's really good to hear, because I know a lot of parents are probably hearing this. They've probably seen something on the news, and they're a little bit worried. So it's good to know how rare it is. And it's good, you know, just if you see children exhibiting those symptoms, there's no harm in just taking them in to make sure everything is okay. So let's talk a little bit about prevention. What do you recommend that parents do to just make sure their children are safe from AFM?
Well, when you're trying to prevent any type of illness in a child, there's common things that need to be done, such as good hand washing with soap. If you're having a cough, you know, cover your cough and sneezing, and avoid touching your face if your hands aren't clean. Definitely try to avoid people who are sick, which is not always easy when children are at school. And if you're sick, you know, stay home when you're sick, and or let your child stay home, because if they're obviously sick and not feeling well, it's best that they not go to school until they're recovered. So those are the typical things that you want to do to prevent, you know, any health illness, including AFM. But because we don't really know what's causing the children to develop it, it's in general, you just want to try to avoid viruses as much as you can, even though specifically there's no one virus that's been identified as causing it.
You know, one of the things that I wanted to do was transition here a bit. You talked about how small those numbers are in terms of how many children that AFM affects, and it really seems to pale in comparison to a far greater threat, which is the flu, right? So how has the flu become
Correct.
This serious for children? And, you know, why do we still as a society not take it as seriously as we should?
Well, the thing is, regarding the flu, there's controversy sometimes regarding should you get a flu shot. No vaccine is 100% effective against illnesses, but the flu shot is statistically 50 to 60% effective in keeping you from getting the flu. And sometimes parents will tell me, no, I don't want my child to get a flu shot because they think their child's going to get the flu from the shot, which is not possible because the flu vaccine does not contain live flu virus. But for instance, I'll tell parents, well, if your child gets a flu shot today and they're exposed to somebody with the flu within the next week or two, they're probably still going to get sick because it takes a couple of weeks for the vaccine to start to work. So, but it's better to get the shot than not get the shot, because if you don't get the shot, you have 0% chance of having protection against the flu virus. But that's better than, it's better to get the shot and have 50 to 60% chance of protection against the flu virus. And the issue is, every year we know of the millions of children across this country who get sick from the flu virus, there are approximately anywhere from 1 to 200 children who will get so sick from the virus that they'll die from it. So to try to prevent the those children who subsequently pass away from the flu, you know, it'd be better for them to have had the vaccine, because we know that of the children who every year die from catching the flu virus, about 80% of those children did not have a flu shot. So basically prevention is better than, you know, trying to treat it after the fact.
It also sounds like the prevention measures that you're talking about are very much the same for both AFM and the flu. So, you know, first and foremost, getting that flu shot, keeping things clean, washing your hands thoroughly, all of those things are going to help prevent against both. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely. Those are both common things that we all need to do to try to help cut down on the risk that, you know, our children catch the flu. And, you know, in this country, we sometimes tend to now be leery of vaccines and think that there's something that can make our children sick, but that's something that's not true. And again, prevention of the flu is much better than after the fact. I mean, every year I have children who are in the practice that we end up having to put in the hospital because of they caught the flu virus. Several family members are sick, missing work, missing school, because the flu has gone through the whole household.
If I can recap here what we've learned today, I think it's that, you know, even if you're hearing about AFM, the cases are very, very small. And if your child starts exhibiting some of those symptoms that Dr. Wright was talking about, just take them into the hospital as soon as you can. Like I said, it's a very small case. And if you take protective measures, get the flu shot, you know, the prevention measures are the same for both of them. So Dr. Wright, I just want to thank you so much for shedding some light on these two conditions. And for more information, we'd love you to visit creekhealth.org. My guest today has been Dr. Lisa Wright. I'm Prakash Chandran. Thank you so much for listening.